Turn to Acts chapter 27, if you would. Thanks so much. Acts chapter 27. Let's get into the Word of God, if you would, with me. Acts chapter 27. And would you also pick up the book of Job, right in the middle? Job, Psalms. If you go to the book of Psalms and turn left, you'll find the book of Job. Job chapter 7. Acts 27 and Job chapter 7. If you'll turn there and follow along, participate a little bit. Appreciate you doing so. Acts 27 and Job chapter number 7. Thanks again for being in church today. In Acts chapter 27, Job 7, Acts 27 talks about a storm that comes up while they're out on the ocean, if you would, heading for the will of God for their lives. It doesn't look like they're heading for the will of God. Look at verse 14, if you would. Acts 27, verse 14. No doubt, in our lives, we've been through some smaller storms, and then every once in a while comes along the tempestuous ones. Look at verse 14. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Have you ever been in one of those situations in your life, maybe in your family, maybe at your workplace or in your community, or maybe in your personal life, where you hit something that it was just going to be that you just had to go along with it for a while? It was a tempestuous wind. It was a storm. It caught you. It put you in the middle of the thing, and it began to certainly control some of the things in your life. And the Bible says all they could do in this storm, so it wouldn't break up the ship, he said, we let her drive. We went with it for a while. Verse 16, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. In those days, these were wooden ships, and they literally take these huge straps and strap them underneath the boat to hold the wood from breaking up. They used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. Brethren, this storm is controlling what's going on this ship and the men on that ship, verse 18. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They wanted to make it more maneuverable so they could try to ride out this storm. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, would you see the next little phrase? All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Brethren, I don't know if you've ever been to a situation where you looked at it and you said, there's no way out of this one. There's no way, there's no way, there's no way, there's no way out of this storm. There's no way out of this situation. There's no way that I could ever see any way to see myself clear of this thing. All hope that they should be saved. All hope that that storm wasn't going to break that ship and they were going to sink in that ocean and drown and die. All hope that they should be saved was then taken away. If you've not yet faced in your life, my brother and my sister, a time when you felt like things were hopeless. What do you mean hopeless? Boxed in. The walls closing in on you. No outlet, no way out. All your solutions that you tried didn't work. Maybe we brought it upon ourselves, maybe the wind just came up, but I mean in this situation, those men on that ship, after trying everything they could, looked at experienced mariners and said, all hope is gone. We won't make it out of this one. Brethren, statement. On that ship that day was pessimism. On that ship that day was discouragement. On that ship that day was men who were looking at each other and say, we're going to die. We're not going to make it out of this one. I mean, they may have served a long time together. They may have made it through a lot of things, but they had never run into Euroclydon before, and their mindset was, we're not going to make it. Hey, they were discouraged. They were distraught. Don't you think there was oppression going on that ship? Don't you think there was a lot of tension on that ship? And all hope that they should be saved was taken away. Look up here. It can happen in a marriage. It can happen in a family. It can happen in a business, in a corporation. It can happen to you personally. It can happen, if you would, in a ministry. It can happen in a church. There's so many ways this can happen, but all hope. And brother, may I say something to you? Money can't buy hope. All they had that day, all the money, all the ship's stores, everything they had, they were lightening the ship. They were throwing things off. Things that they used to think was important wasn't important before. They were chuckling the tackling. They were getting rid of anything. They were throwing things off. It just wasn't important. They were lightening the load. They were looking at their life and saying, that was important. That's not important. No, we're just trying to get through this thing. They lightened the load. They threw off the tackling. They didn't see the sun or the stars in many, many days. You can't describe what it's like to be out on the ocean on a storm and you don't see the sun, you don't see the moon, you don't see the stars, you don't see anything, and all you see is more crashing waves coming in on top of you. No hope. When there's no hope, there's some means of despair and despondency. They felt like they were sinking. If you would, and I don't know if you've ever been in this, those men were not planning what would happen to them the next year. They weren't planning on what would happen to them the next month. They weren't making decisions for the future. They had no vision for the future. All they were looking at was, how do we get through this thing right now? They were focused on it. Their mind was captured on this thing. It was chewing them up. Don't you think they were without sleep and fatigued and demoralized? It was emotionally and physiology draining on them. And their hearts were troubled in such a way that they looked at each other with despair. And they looked and they said, there's no hope. Maybe you've never been there before. Maybe you've only touched on it a little bit. Maybe you've not been down to where you thought, man, if I could just hit bottom. There is no bottom. I'm talking about down to where you're slow, so low and you're still thinking there's no dreams, there's no hope, there's no expectation, there's no goal. Let me tell you what those men felt probably more than anything else. Nobody could help them. Nobody could save them. Here were these men out there all together and they were alone. Alone. You say, but they had each other, but in the situation, they were alone. Even though there was people around, they were alone, they were without hope, they were boxed in, and they were giving up. They were losing their desire. It was fading. You ever been there? You ever hit a Iraqlodon? Some of you young people in here, you say, I don't know what that's all about. Hang on. Serve the Lord, and every once in a while you'll hit a wind that you never hit before. Or it'll hit you. I mean, it'll toss you about, it'll throw you around, and all you can do for a while is just kind of go with it. And then you'll wonder, does anybody care? Does anybody understand? Does anybody see what I'm going through? Can anybody help me? Look, if you would, a little bit further, look at Job chapter 7. Hold your pace back at Acts 27. Look at Job chapter 7. Are we all right this morning? Job chapter 7. Somebody in here, some people in here, you've been through one of these before, or somebody may be going through it right now. Look at Job chapter 7. Would you agree with this? In context, Job hit his Iraqlodon. Job hit his storm. Job hit his wind that he had never had happened before. I mean, he lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost all his cattle and everything he owned. And his wife was saying, curse God and die. I'm saying in the book of Job, what we're seeing here is a man who's lost hope. Look at Job chapter 7. Look at verse 3. So am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed unto me. And by the way, sometimes it's the middle of the night when you feel the most alone and there's no hope. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? You know what we hope for? The morning. You don't worry about what's going to happen next week. You just say, help me to just get through this night. And I am full of tossings to and fro under the dawning of the day. Hey, Job was going through something with his health. We know he had boils from his feet to his head. And he said, my flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. It wasn't like Job could go to the hospital and get cured. It wasn't like Job had any doctors around. This thing had come upon. He said this in verse 6, watch. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. That would be what's used to weave in and out, and they could do it very quickly. And are spent, would you say the next two words, say it? Without hope. No hope. Distraught. Downcast. Discouraged. Probably bordering on despondency and oppression. Brother, look up here. When hope leaves, fear comes. Listen to what I'm saying. When hope is gone, it's replaced by fear. And fear makes us feel vulnerable. Come on, are you listening to me? When hope leaves, fear comes. And fear makes us insecure and it depresses us, if you would. And by the way, somebody says, well, Christians shouldn't fall into this. Look up here. Those men in that Bible, and I'm going to show you a couple more. Hey, here's Job. And Job's right in the middle of this situation where he says, hey, I'm without hope. Look at chapter 17. Stay with me. Chapter 17 of the book of Job. Everybody still all right? Talk to me. Amen. Chapter 17. You can have hope. We're going to be done by the time it's time to eat. Amen. Everything's going to be fine. Job 17. Watch it. In the book of Job, chapter 17, he already talked about his nights. Look at Job 17 and look at his days in verse 11. Verse 11 of Job, chapter 17. Thanks for turning. My days are past. My purposes are broken off. Even the thoughts of my heart. Brethren, when you get to the place where you have no hope, you wonder what your purpose is. You wonder what's the cause. What's the use? What's the reason? I mean, you get down so low, if you would, in your own mind that you wonder what God's plan is and what even is the purpose of life is. And may I say, you can get so low in this thing that there are no goals, there are no expectations, there are no dreams, there is no vision, and all you want to do is perish. Verse 12, they change the night into day, the light is short because of darkness. If I wait, the grave is mine house. I have made my bed in the darkness. I have said to corruption, thou art my father. He's going lower. To the worm, thou art my mother. Lower. And my sister. And where is now my, everybody say it, my hope. He said, where is my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? Now, I know it's hard to get into this thing, but he's confused. He's disoriented. He doesn't know which direction to go. He's questioning his purpose. And maybe you're saying, I can't quite relate to what you're talking about. Well, when purposes are disappointed, when there's failures, when people fail you, and what Job's feeling here is a deep, lonely, nobody can understand, despair. Where is now my hope? Look at Numbers chapter 11. Would you turn there? Numbers chapter 11. Everybody all right still? Numbers chapter 11, stay with me. Those men out on that ship, don't leave them. They're out there without hope. Things are breaking up around them. Everything's falling apart around them. In Job's life, it's all falling apart. All his children are dead. All the in-laws are, if you would, his children's spouses are dead. And if you would, the business that he had and all the wealth that he had is all gone. It's all falling apart around him. Look at Numbers chapter 11. In Numbers chapter 11, look at the first little phrase, verse 1. And when the people, everybody what? And when the people what? Complained. Brethren, they had been murmuring and complaining, hundreds and hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands out there that he was responsible with had been complaining. And here was the leader appointed by God, and he had led them out. They had already complained, if you would, when the straw was taken away and said, what are you? You're going to allow the Egyptians to slay us. And they got through the Red Sea and they sang and they danced about everything and they were joyous. And the next thing they said, who's going to feed us? Did you bring us out here to kill us because we don't have any food? And then they got together again and they complained and murmured again and said, where's the water? All our cattle are going to die and all our children are going to die. And Moses is feeling overwhelmed with the responsibilities and they're murmuring and they're complaining. And I don't know if you've ever felt the pressure of people around you, maybe in business or family, and you can't provide or you made some decisions that maybe didn't look very good at the time. And they're working on him and they're overwhelming him and they're complaining. And look at verse 10. Stay with me. Then Moses heard the people weep. Now they're crying and they're weeping and they're murmuring and they're gossiping and they're backbiting throughout their families. Every man, the door of his tent, all the men were against him. Well, how did this affect Moses? He goes to talk to God in verse 11. And in verse 11, you can see that he's in a great storm. It's one of those Euroclodons, overwhelming, depressing, oppressing, tormenting, without hope. Who can understand feeling lonely? He says, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? He's talking about himself. And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? He said, it's too great. I can't handle it. Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them?
that thou shouldst say unto me, carriest them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land where thou swearest. He says, I can't do this. I'm not capable. I don't have the wherewithal to do it. And he says, hey, how am I going to feed him in verse 13? And then he says in verse 14, I am not able to bear all this people, say it, alone. He's feeling lonely in this thing, that the whole weight is upon him, because it is too, say it, heavy. It's too heavy. It's overwhelming. The pressure is too great. He's sinking lower and lower. And he's got this solution in verse 15. If thou deal thus with me, what? Kill me. He wants out. He's given up. He tried. He feels like a failure. He says, I can't do it. He's in his storm, in his Euroquadon. The hope is gone. And by the way, when hope isn't there any longer, you want to run. You want to run away and try to disconnect from the situation that's putting all the pressure on. And you know what Moses is doing here, brother? He's trying to disconnect. And the only way he can see out of this thing is, God, kill me. I want to get out. I want out from under this pressure. I don't want the responsibility anymore. I don't have any hope. I can't do it. I can't feed these people. I can't do it alone. It's too heavy for me. And he's feeling all alone and overwhelmed. He's in that hopelessness stage. Oppressive, brethren, don't you think his mind was chewing on him? Because fear had gripped him. The fear of what? The fear of the pressure and the responsibility. And that he let all these people out. And now he's questioning even what he's doing out there with all these people after all the miracles. And he says, I can't feed them. I can't do this. I know we're supposed to go in a land. Please look up here. He just couldn't see. He was just a human. He couldn't see what God could see. He couldn't see later on the River Jordan parting. He couldn't see from Mount Pisgah's lofty heights yet. All he could see was all these people murmuring and complaining and making responsible and oppressive, pessimistic on the boat, and the boat was sinking, and all hope that they should be saved was gone. Who's going to feed us? Who's going to give us water? Our children are going to die. Our cattle are going to die. And everybody in their tents weeping. And the attitude and atmosphere in that camp is terrible. You ever get around an attitude in a group of people somewhere, or with a person, or maybe in a company or business or whatever it is, where everybody's attitude stinks? It's not going to work. No way out. We're going down. We're sinking. Hey, let's all bail out. Let's give up. Let's quit. Let's give up on this thing. Hey, let's get out of this thing in any way we can. What are we going to do? Despondent? Kill me. Say, how can he say that? God had done all those miracles. But brethren, when you get that close in and it's right there in front of your brain and it chews on you, and I wonder if Moses lost any sleep at night. I wonder if he beat himself up. You see, brethren, please look up here. Fear hath its torments. I wonder if his brain was being tormented by the things that have happened and what they had said. What they had said about him. Brethren, I think Moses out there, look up here, was feeling all alone. Even though all these people were around him. Now here's what we've got so far. Look up here. The ship's sinking in the book of Acts, chapter 27. And they said all hope for the men on that ship, all hope that they should be saved, was taken away. To those men, they were sinking. The ship was going to break up. The wind was going to win. The storm was going to win. And they were going down. To Job, all hope. The nights he had spent, the loathsome disease that he had, everything, it was all gone. And mentally, he was giving up and giving in and just was wishing everything would just end. His hope was gone. Moses said, if you deal thus with me, kill me. He says, if I found favor in thy sight, just kill me. I want to disconnect from this thing. I want out. Shall we close our Bibles and leave it all there? Should I dismiss you all now? God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Hope you have a good life today. See ya. See, all we've done is define the problem. But sometimes you got to face the problem. And you've got to look at it in reality. It can be, if you would, something physiological. You find out something's going on, or somebody you love has this disease and it doesn't look like there's any hope in this life. Something's happened and it just looks like there's a dead end, there's no way out. And then not only the end, but all the sides and the back starts closing in on you. And in your mind, you start sinking lower and lower and lower to where there's despair and despondency, and you just wish you could hit bottom, but there's no bottom, and you've crossed from feeling unworthy to feeling worthless. And we say things like this: you'd be better off without me. If I got out of your way, you could probably do better. And you know what? We mean it. The confidence is gone and shot. There's no confidence. We know that God has given up on us, and we don't blame him. Let me say it again. We believe that God has given up on us, and we just don't blame him at all for that. Because if I looked at it and just said, God, I don't blame you at all, you're right. If I were giving up, if I were to look at me, I'd give up on me too. So that sounds like depression. I'm telling you, Moses was done. Look up here. He was ready to quit. His desire to go on and leave those people was finished. Look up here. He had come to the end of his own wit. We would say he came to his wit's end. Let me read you something. Hold your place. Don't miss where we're at with Moses. Let me just read you something. See, the Bible is very clear about this life. Listen to me. These that they that go down to the sea in ships, listen to me, and do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Stay with me. For he, the Lord, commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. Statement, look up here. Was Paul in God's will out in the middle of that storm with those men? Was Job in the middle of God's will out there when everything was falling apart? Was Moses in the middle of God's will out there when everything was coming in on him and he was feeling overwhelmed? You see, God once in a while will command a stormy wind to come up, and it will be overwhelming and greater than we are and more than we can figure out. He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifted up the waves thereof. They, the waves, mount up to the heaven. They go down to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. You know what that's saying? That they're at the end of themselves. They're at the end of what they can figure out. We get at the end where we say, we've tried this, we've tried that, we've tried this. It could be financial, it could be relationship, it could be disease, it could be illness, it could be all kinds of different things. And he said, hey, I'm at the end of my wit. I can't figure it out. Moses said, I can't figure it out. I can't bear it. Job said, I got no hope. And all the men out there said, we're gone. We're downers. We're finished. Brother, let me make a statement to you. One of the most difficult processes that God will ever put us through, you and me, is to come to the end of ourselves. It hurts. Let me say it again. One of the most difficult processes God may allow you and me to go through is when something comes upon us so tragically. Slowly builds, get worse, boxed in, cornered, oppressed, depressed, no hope, no hope, no hope, no hope. This didn't work, that didn't work, this didn't work, that didn't work. They're losing confidence, I'm losing confidence, it's a mess, it's getting worse. And the waves mount up and drain your strength, your resolve. Look up here, your desire, and there's nothing left. And you feel like a blubbering idiot. In your mind, look up here. You say, how do you feel? Like you're going crazy. What do you want to do? Go and hide under the covers. Get away from people. No more decisions. No more planning. I'm done. I'm out of here. Check me out. Disconnect me. I can't do it anymore. You say, I've never been there. You mean God would allow that? Are they all in God's will? Yes or no? Come on, talk to me. Is Paul in God's will with those men? Is Moses in God's will? Is Job in God's will? Come on. How about Elijah when he goes through his? How about Jonah when he goes through his? Somebody says, oh, if you're walking with God, everything's going to be peachy keen all the time. If you're walking with God, every once in a while, God says in your lifetime, you're Rockladon. And you don't get many of these in your life. But you never forget them. You may have two or three of these in a whole lifetime that God brings upon you. And we come to the wit's end, the end of ourselves. And for days and nights, you don't see the sun, you don't see the moon, you don't see the stars. I remember what last Sunday night Brother Bosley said. For 9 months, he hadn't heard a whole lot from God. Oh, God was still sustaining. God was still taking care. God was still making sure the shoes didn't wear out. I was like, where are you? I don't blame you a bit for giving up on me. Numbers chapter 11. Should we just dismiss and go home?
No.
Come on. Look at verse 16. He said, kill me in verse 15. If I found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. Verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses. Stop right there. God spoke. God said something. Finally, after all that time, God answers and says something direct to Moses. And here's what he says. Go get me those 70 men down there. Gather me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of Israel. And the officers, he said, you bring them to the congregation of the tabernacle, that they'll stand there with me. And when they come, verse 17, I'm going to come down. I'm going to talk with them. I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to talk with them. Look what he says. And I will take of the Spirit, which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself. Say it alone. You're going to get some help. I'm going to bring somebody alongside of you, Moses. And I'm going to give them the same spirit that you have. I'm going to give you some hope. But I'm going to do it through somebody. I don't need anybody. I can do it myself. Talk to me when you're 70. One of the greatest lessons that we learn in life is that we cannot do it alone. Let me say it again. You want to do something great for God? And I mean not be great. I didn't say be great. I said do something that God says that's what I plan and purpose for you to do. It's not greatness that's the goal. It's to be used of God the best way He sees fit. I'll guarantee you this. If God's going to use us in some way, the best way He can, we won't do it alone. And God says you, bring those 70 and I'll put that spirit upon them. And Moses goes back and he says, how are we going to feed all these people? I mean, how are we going to feed? Do you know how much food it takes every day, let alone a month? And look at verse 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Hey, do you think I can't feed these people? You don't think I can bring something around that can feed them? Is the Lord's hand waxed short? What he's saying is, Moses, you can't see how I'm going to do it because my ways are above your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts. All you can see is with your finite little mind. But you haven't seen nothing yet. You haven't seen how big my hand is. You haven't seen what's up my sleeve. You're not seeing what I can do yet. Stand by and watch what I can do. But he's first of all got to put us in a position where we can't figure it out. And nobody can figure it out for us. And there is no hope. And somebody says, what about you? What about that? And you say, I thought about that. It won't work. And what about this? I thought about that. It won't work. What about this over here? No, won't work either. Doesn't matter how much you try to convince them, as far as they're concerned, it's hopeless. Those men out on those ship, you could have said, oh, we'll get out of this. It's hopeless. We're going to die. Job, it's over. Moses, kill me. I'm done. I've had him finished. We all right? And God's got to bring us to the place where, all right, now you're set up. Now I'm going to grow your faith. Now I'm going to give you hope.
Yes, sir.
Now you're going to see something. You've waited and waited and waited, and you've been through this thing with Job over and over and over again. You're going to know that when I do it, it's supernatural. It's above this world. It's out of this world. It's above this earth. It's no man that's done it. It's supernatural, non-coincident. I'm God. Know that I'm God. You say, I don't know if I want to see that. I do. I'm not looking for little things. Every once in a while, I need to see God roll up his sleeves and show me that that mighty hand can do things that I never even thought of before. Are you listening to me? I don't want to go through this life and not see the great works of God out in the deep. Look with me a little further. Stay with me one more and we'll go back. Look at 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. Elijah has just had a confrontation with the prophets of Baal, Jezebel's prophets, and fire came down from heaven. Not from Elijah, but from heaven. Elijah just called and God sent it. And the battle was in favor of God, and the prophets were destroyed. But look at verse 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. What had just happened with the fire coming down from heaven, destroying all her prophets, false prophets. And withal, how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Brethren, then Jezebel sent a messenger under Elijah, saying, watch. So let the gods do to me, and more also, watch what she says to Elijah, if I make not the life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time. You know what Jezebel says? I'm going to kill you, Elijah. And she was known to kill God's prophets. And when she said it, she meant it. It would be like somebody who was a murderer, a known murderer, coming up to you and saying, I'm going to kill you. And you knew that person had done it before. And out of fear, stricken with fear, after being told by that messenger that Elijah was going to die at the hand of Jezebel, the Bible says, verse 3, he arose and went for his life. Fear. And he goes and he sits down in verse 4 under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might, what? Die. It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. Fear and oppression and torment and his hope. He just knew that he was out there. And what is he facing in verse 10? Look at it. In verse 10, right at the end, he says, I only am left. Hey, they've forsaken the covenant. They've thrown down the altars. They've slain the prophet with the sword. I'm the only one left. He was feeling all alone and hopeless and helpless and thinking Jezebel's after me and she's going to get me. Look at verse 14. He says it again, they've forsaken the covenant, thrown down the altar, slain thy prophets. You know what he's facing? Euroclodon. His wind, his storm, his tempest in his life. All hope is leaving him. I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Watch verse 15. First thing that has to happen, the Lord speaks. The Lord speaks. And the Lord said unto him, here's the plan, here's the hope, here's the goal. Here's what's next. Hey, sometimes we just need to hear the Lord say, here's what's next. Here's the plan. I'm not done with you yet. I've got something else for you to do. It's not over with yet. I'm not done with you yet. Don't leave yet. Don't leave me yet. I've got something for you. And that's what he said to Moses. You're not done yet. I'm going to give you 70 men and we've got more work to do, Moses. I'm not finished with you yet. And he says over here to this prophet, he says, I'm not done with you yet. Here's the next part of the plan. I know she's after you. I know you feel all alone. Go return on the way. And hey, go make Hazael king over Syria. And then put Jehu in the kingship of Israel. And you get Elisha ready to go. That's the plan. And then he says this in verse 18, kind of like a by the way. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. You're not alone, you're not alone, Elisha. You're not alone. And sometimes, look up here, all we need to know is we're not alone. We're not alone, we're not alone, we're not alone, we're not alone, we're not alone. You ever feel alone out there in the workplace, in the job? You ever feel alone in those situations? And then you come into church and you know what you're saying? I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Or you go home to see your family and say, I'm not alone. I got a purpose. There's a reason for this thing. I'm not alone. And when God finally speaks, you think, all right, there's a plan, there's a purpose, there's something He wants me to do. I can accomplish something in this life, and God wants to use me in some way, shape, or form. And it's not over with yet. Look back a little bit further, back at Acts 27. Stay with me, Acts 27. Let's go back to the storm just for a moment. Acts 27. Acts 27. Everybody's there? Acts 27. Look at verse 20. And when neither sun, verse 20, Acts 27, 20, nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. Say the next two words again. All hope. Say it again. It didn't say hope, it said all hope. Hey, you know what Job lost? All hope. You know what Moses lost? All hope. You know where Elijah was at? All hope, gone. I'm done, I want to disconnect, I'm out, I'm finished, I'm despondent, I'm in despair. Kill me. I'm finished, I quit, I'm done. And I think God in heaven goes, good. Now I can use you. Now you come to the end of yourself. Now you're at your wit end. You're at the end of your wit, your wisdom, your way of figuring it out. You're done. You're finished. Good, good, good. Now I can use you. And when I use you, and when it goes well, you'll know it's not you. You'll know it's me. You'll know you didn't do this. You know it's not. You're not going to get any glory out of this thing. And you'll look up and you say, one day I was going crazy. One day I was going insane. One day I wanted to kill myself. One day I wanted out. One day I wanted to run. One day I couldn't even hold it together. One day my mind was just flat, and at the bottom, below bottom, it was just mush. I didn't know what to do. And God spoke. And God said something. And then God said, here's the plan. You see, I didn't know there was even a plan left. I thought the plans were all done. I thought I was finished. I thought it was the end of the whole journey. I thought I was going down. I thought I was sinking. I thought it was over. Really believed it. Anything that happens after this that looks good, that looks like I did something, it's not me. You're looking at the one that was crazy, that was insane, that was thinking suicidal, that was so low they wouldn't have it together, that they wanted to hide under the covers, that the mush was in there in the brain, and despondency and despair, no sun, no moon, no stars, no nothing, no quit, I'm done, I'm finished, done. Come on. And somebody says, wow, you're really doing a good job, and you say, nope, not me. I'm the quitter, I'm the runner, I'm the despondent. I gave up a long time ago, I quit five years ago. Anything after that, I'm dead, I'm done, finished. Now it's all Him. And you don't just say it, you really know it. All these men, they were done. All hope was gone. But you know what Paul did right in the middle? He said, I got a little word from the Lord for y'all. See, I've been walking with the Lord, and I just want you to know, God told me something about this thing. Just like those 70 elders showed up. Just like God told Elijah, you go anoint Elijah and he'll run with you. And by the way, I got 7,000 more that haven't given up yet and haven't quit yet. Just like Job, when all was said and done, he was down at the lowest. God said to Job's three friends, you go sacrifice now and ask Job to pray for you. And when they walked in and got their hearts right with Job and asked him to pray for him, and when God allowed Job to pray, and when Job prays, the captivity in his mind was lifted. It was a prison. And when God was ready, he took that. He didn't. Job had no hope. And God said, here, let me give you something back that you didn't have, because I'm the one who gives hope, and I'm the one who gives reason. I'm the one who gives purpose. I'm the one who lets you think the right thoughts and do the right things. Hey, I know your hope was gone. I knew where you were at. I knew how much you could take. I knew what you could bear. Now that you prayed for your friends, here's your hope back. He can take it, and he can give it back. He can take the strength of your mind and just take your faith, your hope, your resolve, your brains, your everything, and just say, I'm going to take it for a while. Now, you're at your wit's end, tossed to and fro, staggering, ready to give up. Now, you can have it back. But now you know it's not yours. Now you know it's mine to give to you. You say, who else went through that? Nebuchadnezzar. You go eat grass for 7 years. Here, I'm going to take your faculty. I'm going to take your brain. I'm going to take your intellect. I'm going to take your mind. I'm going to take it away. And you're going to think you're an animal, and you're going to eat for 7 years. Grass. Look up here. And you're going to go through your Euroclodon. And then I'm going to give it back to you. And when he gave it back to him, you know what the first thing he said? Glory to the Most High. Same God that we serve today. Are you listening to me? Amen. And the Bible says, verse 22, Paul stood up in the midst of them. He said, now, verse 22, I exhort you to be of what? Say it. Good cheer. No, you don't understand. We're sinking. All hope's gone. I know, but I want you to be of good cheer. There's no cheer here. We're not happy about this. For there shall be no loss of any man's life of you about the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And you know what the angel of God told me, boys? Fear not! 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 That's what God told me. And when Moses got God's mind and God spake, I got a plan. And when Job got God's mind and Job's got the plan of God, and God said, you're not done yet. You're not finished yet. It's not over with yet. Elijah, you're not done yet. I got more work for you to do. Nebuchadnezzar, I'm not done with you yet. And these men, God said to Paul, fear not, tell them, fear not. They haven't seen anything yet. So he says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. All it takes is somebody around us to believe. I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain hour. I got some work to do there. Hey guys, come on. Fast is past. And he exhorts them to abide in the ship. Look at verse 31. And Paul says to the centurion, to the soldier, except these abide in the ship, he cannot be saved. You got to stay on the ship. You got to watch it break up. Don't leave. Don't go your own direction. Don't do it your own way. Don't try to work it out. Don't try to work your way out. Do it God's way. And then he says, you ought to take some meat. Eat a little bit for your health. They were weak. They were fatigued. Look up here. If in this life you get to the place where there is no hope and you're not yet saved, God has you right where he wants you. You've never trusted Christ as Savior, and you're saying, I want to know who this God is. I've heard about all this religion and that religion, this over there and that over there, and you know somebody meditating over there and reincarnation over there and all the rest of it. Hey, you know what? I don't want to come back to this earth as a fly. I don't want to come back as a cow. I just don't want to come back. I mean, why would you want to come back? You say, oh, it's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place to go through once. But when there's a heaven waiting, why would you want to come back to earth? I mean, why would you want to come back? You say, oh, it's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place to go through once. But when there's a heaven waiting, why would you want to come back to earth? You get to the place you're just totally without hope. It may be this morning, it may be another time, and you don't know what to do, and you just say, I don't know, there's something missing inside of my soul, and I've tried everything, and I don't know how to get that filled, that void inside of there. There's still hope. Jesus Christ is His name. He's the one. He's the one who will give you hope. He's the one that can take you out of that despondency and that despair. Look up here. You say, hey, I'm so void and I'm empty. I knew you would get around to this thing. If you've not yet received Christ as your Savior, listen to me. One of these days you'll be alone in the middle of the night saying, oh, my soul, there's got to be something more than this. I'm empty. There's a void. There's no hope. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm going to die. 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 Say that little prayer. Father, forgive me. I've broken your rules. I've sinned. In the name of Jesus, I'm coming to you and asking you to forgive me of my sins. The Bible says if we confess it with our mouth and believe in our heart. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You know what flooded into our soul? The hope of the Holy Ghost of God. And with Him He brought courage, and with Him He brought a new personality and all kinds of things with Him. If you've not received Christ as your Savior, you say, weren't you just saying that sometimes Christians, even after they're saved, they get to the end of themselves? It's a process to know who God is. It's a process to be ready, to be broken down where God wants to use you more by faith in some way, shape, or form. And He's the potter. Or the clay. If He looks and says, I'm going to reshape it and remold it. He might bring a Euroclodon your way, or a Job, or a Moses deal. You could be right in God's will. Come on, is that right? And sometimes He'll bring somebody by in your life, 70 elders. Or sometimes He'll say, you're not done yet. You go get Elisha. Or sometimes He'll say to Job, those three friends, they're going to turn back. Look up here. And you know what He did if you read the next verse? Not only did they turn back, but all those that had forsaken Him returned. Job got his friends back. God can do that. God can restore. And you know what we learn? We need God. But sometimes we also need God's people. Hey, Moses, you want to do it alone? I'm going to call those 70 elders. To the man or the woman here that thinks you're an independent entity and you can do it all alone, call me after your miracle done. I'll rejoice with you. And say, I don't get it. If you think you can do it all by yourself. Oh, I know. Well, I need God. I'm talking about like really needing. Like I can't, my mind won't even hold together today without Him. Call me. I'll rejoice with you. Heard a preacher one time preach. When it was all done, I said, call me when you're broken. You could just tell there was that. I'm going out and tear the world up. I thought, yeah, right. Call me after the world tore you up. And I'll be a help to you. Because we're much better off after the Euroclodon. We're much better off after our hope fades and we get God's hope and God's vision. Not operating in our own strength, but now totally operating on His strength in us. Does that make any sense? So if you're in it right now and you say, man, I haven't seen the sun, the stars, the moon. I feel like I'm all alone. Things are closing in and boxing in, oppressive, despondency, depression, and nobody knows. I'm trying to put on a good face. I'm trying to get through this thing, but I'm being tossed and froed and staggering about, reeling to and fro, confusing, disoriented, like a drunken man. I don't even have any hope, and I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't even know maybe God's done with me with this whole thing, and I don't know what to do next. And the Lord speaks. You say, how does He speak? Sometimes through His Word. Yes, sir. Yep. Sometimes through a preacher. Amen. Sometimes through some friends. Yes, Sometimes in prayer. Sometimes through a wife. Sometimes through a husband. Sometimes through one of your children. Sometimes through a brother that's born for adversity. Sometimes it'll just surprise you. One guy got talked to by a donkey.
Yeah.
I'll not comment on that. God can do whatever he wants to do. After your Rakodan's over, make sure you turn around and thank him. Thank him. Because he knows what you're able to bear. And I know you've just sit there for 45 minutes and let me yell at you. But I'm going to emphasize the point that we have a wonderful, wonderful God. And God said, through the foolishness of preaching, you say, what's going on with him? I have no idea. But whatever it is, must be fun. You can look at Brother Alex here and say, well, I don't know if I'm going to do that. Looks like he's having a good time. How are you doing? When's the last time you jumped up? So if I did that, I'd hurt myself. Me too, but at least I'd like to. Be a good cheer. You say, I'm not out of it yet. Just know that you're in the right place this morning. And you're not forsaken. And you're not alone. You plus God is a majority. You're not alone. He knows right where you're at. Knows right what you're going through. Probably right in God's will. Confused? Disoriented? Which direction do I go? What do I do next? That's all part of it. I can't make it. There's no way out. That's all part of it. I've given up. That's all part of it. That's all part of it. Somebody's trying to tell you, you're going to make it out, and you're saying, I don't believe it. That's all part of it. That's all part of it. Those are nice words, and that's what you're supposed to say, but that's all part of it. Why would he let that happen? So you can help someone else and comfort someone else with the comforted wherewith you were comforted. You in here, Brother Sturger, anywhere? Brother Sturger? Is Chris in here? Wave at me if he is. Preaching this morning? I watched Brother Sturger, who's been here for, 18 years, go through it recently. Laying on a hospital bed with pain that he'd never faced before, for longer than he'd ever faced before, and lower than I've ever seen him before in the 18 years I've known him. And when I walked out of the hospital, God said one word to me, Euroclodon. And I thought, God's getting ready to use him. Euroclodon has come, and he'll make it through. Your Rakhaldan looks like the enemy, but actually it's a friend. It's a great, great trial that we wish would go away, that would have never came. But we learned so much in it. We wouldn't want to go through it again. Are you in it this morning? Be a good cheer. Fear not. Last night, God told me to preach you this message. You say what? Fear not. Last night the Holy Spirit told me to preach this message. You say it's not for me. Wait 2 weeks from now. And if you're not saved, why don't you join the happy band? You know what the world has when they come into the end of their own wit and they're not saved? Look up here. You know what the world has when they come to the end of their own wit? Nothing. They've got nothing like we used to have before we were saved. When we come to our own wit, the end of it, we have nothing. Now you know what we have when we come to our own end of our own wit? We've got everything. We've got a resource that won't end. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Look up into heaven and say, that's pretty high. And his thoughts are that much higher than my thoughts, and his ways are that much higher than my ways. Look into outer space. His thoughts are that far above my thoughts, and his ways are way past what I can figure out, so he must have a way. Look up here. He must have a way out. But that way out leads in to a greater walk.
With our heads bowed, please, without disturbing anybody else, please. Their eternity may hang on this next question, please. Pastor, would you just simply, in your closing prayer, pray for me? I don't know if I know God through salvation. I don't know if I am saved. I don't know if I've received Christ as my Savior. I just don't know. I may have prayed to God before. I may have even asked Him to save me before, asked Him to forgive my sins. I don't know, though. I just don't have that assurity. I still have great, great doubts. Look up here with their heads bowed and eyes closed with your mind's eye, please. Please. Pastor, in that closing prayer, God knows who I am. Would you please include me in that prayer? If that's you, friend, sir, ma'am, young person, we will include you. God knows who you are. If that's you, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you slip up your hand and say, pray for me right now. I mean, I want, yes, someone else, pray for me. Good. Yes, God bless you. Yes, sir. Someone else, pray for me. Don't be embarrassed. Father, Father, please. Maybe they're at the end of themselves, and Lord, maybe you brought them to this place, and they're right there, poised for salvation, please. May thy Holy Spirit today quicken their hearts, regenerate their minds, their names be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the Holy Spirit come in and give them assurance of their eternal destiny through salvation. Please. If you raised your hand for salvation, if you raised your hand, I believe you're honest and genuine. Just a moment. We have an old-fashioned altar call. All you need to do, if you'd like, is let us take the Bible for a few moments, if you would, and let us show you scriptures, pray with you. No tricks, no gimmicks. We want to help you. We're not here to put you down. We're here to help you up through the Jesus Christ. We can't save you, but we can show you who can. Now, if you raised your hand for salvation and you'd like help, in just a moment, we're going to stand. If you're with somebody and you'd like somebody to come with you, do that. Or if you want to come alone, a man, if you're a man, a woman, if you're a woman, will help you here at the front. Just come straight down to the front in just a moment. And we'll take a Bible and we'll go privately and show you. No tricks, no gimmicks. We don't want anything else from you. We're just concerned about you and your eternal destiny. Christian, maybe you brought somebody to church and you're concerned about them this morning. And maybe, out of courtesy, maybe. If you do it in such a way that you show you care, you could just ask me and say, can I help you? Are you sure? Are you sure? Do you know? I'm concerned for you. Please, if you know somebody, and you brought them to church, you'd just like to say, hey, can I help you with anything? I care about you. They won't be offended. Not because you care. Christian, if you know somebody today going through it, either it's yourself or somebody you know, why don't you use an old-fashioned altar this morning? If you want to stay and pray at your pew or kneel at your pew, or if you want to come forward or however you want to do it, the instruments are going to play. Let's all stand. Let's all stand to our feet. And if you want to come, just say, excuse me, I want to come right now. If you brought somebody with you and you just want to look over to them and say, hey, do you want me to go with you? Maybe you're going through it right now yourself. Don't be embarrassed. I know you feel vulnerable right now. I've been there. Maybe not to the extent you are, maybe not the same circumstances, but I know what it feels like. Maybe a husband and wife, you want to come and pray. Maybe you know somebody in this state, across this state, somebody you just want to intercede for them. You come. Take your time. If you raised your hand for salvation with our heads bowed now as you stood and your eyes closed, just for the sake of a little privacy as people want to come, thanks for the extra few moments this morning. Your Rockladon has come. Maybe it's going to lead to salvation, or maybe it's a breaking that will lead you to a walk with God, to advancement and promotion of the Lord in your own personal life, to set you up to do what He wants to do. Sometimes the way to be exalted first comes through being abased. You brought low. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're in it, Moses got to the place where he was done. He was finished. He was ready to quit. He's had it. The burdens were too great. The responsibilities were too much. He was overwhelmed. Elijah feared for his life. He felt threatened and vulnerable and insecure. And he knew Jezebel was going to get him. These men on the ship just knew the waves were too great, the physical thing. Job was laying there in his own sores and wounds and knew there was no hope. It was done. It was finished. It was over. His friends had turned against him. Over and over and over in this Bible, you'll see men and women used of the Lord who go through great, great struggles. And when God brings them out, they know who did it. They know who God is at a greater level. Be a good cheer. Fear not, be a good cheer. How can you be in God's will and all this happen? Over and over and over again, people trying to follow the direction of God get in a place where they're tossed to and fro, confused. No direction. No joy. Despondent. Discouraged. Hopeless. Hopeless. No plan, no vision, no dream. Maybe you've never been there. Maybe you'll never be there. Maybe God will never bring you to that place. But if He does, realize that He's God. Because when you come to your wits' end, then, He makes the storm at peace, and He calms it, and He calms the waves. That which was lifted up against you, He can calm it, He can settle it. He can make it all calm. He can bring you to that desired haven. And then what are we supposed to do? Praise Him for His goodness and thank Him. If things are calm right now in your life, praise Him and thank Him. Worship Him. Bow your heads in affection and adoration. If you just need still salvation right where you're at, you can just bow your head and say, "Forgive me, please. Please forgive me of my sins. Please." Maybe you didn't want to come forward. You see us later. Make an appointment. Call us. See us at the end of the service. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Father, please, go beyond these walls, go beyond this room, go beyond this time period, and take this further and further and further, further than I could ever speak. May Thy Holy Spirit minister through Thy Word. We love You today. For those in the midst of it, Lord, I pray that You'll sustain them and bear them up. Put the helps underneath of them while they're being tossed about. And as their own wits end, the ship breaks up. May they come to the perfect place You have for them in their life to be used of Thee. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.